Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mulana Muhammad An-Nabiyy al-Mujahid al-Shahid Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi alladhina saru sayrahu wa jahadu fillahi haqqa jihadihi hatta atahumul yaqin amma ba'd. One of the Roman commanders in the area of Philistine was a person by the name of Artabun. Artabun was one of the most intelligent and one of the most powerful Roman commanders. Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu was deputed to this area. On one occasion, during the encounters, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned, قَدْ رَمَيْنَا أَرْطَبُونَ الرُّومِ بِأَرْطَبُونِ الْعَرَبِ, that we have sent the Artabun of the Arabs to the Artabun of the Romans. Meaning, Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu is so intelligent, he is so experienced in terms of military, that he is equal to the Artabun of the Romans. And now we will see what the outcome will be. After the Roman army was defeated in Ajnadain, which was discussed earlier on, Artabun took asylum, he took protection and refuge in Elia in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a very strongly fortified city and there was a strong force there. So he took protection there, and for very long they managed to hold their ground and they managed to defend the city. Although the Muslims had besieged the city for a long time, they managed to withstand all of this. After the land of Sham was taken over by the Muslims, now they focus their attention to Jerusalem, to Quds, as we explained, great significance and sanctity that the city holds in the hearts of Muslims. So they focus their attention to Jerusalem. Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu had been sending messengers to Artabun. However, he did not get any joy out of these messengers and the feedback that he was receiving from them. He was not making any breakthrough, so he felt that it would be best for him to go personally, so that he would be able to ask the right questions and he would be able to assess the situation. So Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, pretending to be an ordinary messenger, he goes to Artabun, he goes and conveys a message to him. Whatever he wanted to tell him, he told him. And then he heard whatever Artabun had to say. And whilst he was there, he studied the security systems of the fort, of the city, in order for him to plan how he will be able to breach these security systems and how he will be able to take over the city. Through the discussion, Artabun, being a very intelligent person, he realized that the person that he is speaking to is no ordinary messenger. And he felt that this is either Amr bin As radiallahu anhu himself, or he is one of the very close advisors of Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, one of the two. Hence he felt that if I have to kill this person, either he is Amr bin As radiallahu anhu himself, is the commander, or he is one of his close advisors. If I have to kill this person, this will be one of the biggest blows that I can inflict on the enemies. So he calls one of his security and very secretly he tells him that wait at a certain place. When this person is leaving, when he's returning, then you assassinate him. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, being the intelligent person that he was, he realized that this is the plot, this is the plan of Artabun. Hence he says to Artabun that I am one of 10 advisors to our commander. Umar radiallahu anhu, our Amir al-Mu'mineen, our Khalifa, has sent 10 advisors to the commander. I am one of 10. And I have listened to whatever you have to say. I have understood your story. I understand your standpoint. But I cannot make my own decision. And I cannot influence our commander. So let me go back and call the remainder 9 advisors. When all of them come and we all sit in front of you and they understand you correctly, then they will go back and then they will influence the decision of our commander. So Artabun was very excited about this. So quietly he sends a message calling for that security, calling for that guard to come back, because he didn't want to lose his opportunity. He felt it was a golden opportunity that all these commanders will come. So Amr bin As radiallahu anhu leaves. And when he leaves, he made up his mind, he's not going to come back. There was no one of ten. He wasn't one of ten. He was the commander himself. As he left, Artabun realized that Amr radiallahu anhu had deceived him. And it was regarding this that Umar radiallahu anhu thereafter commented and said, غَلَبَهُ عَمْرٌ Amr radiallahu anhu had overpowered him with his intelligence and with his smartness. Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned earlier on that we sent the Artabun of the Arabs to the Artabun of the Romans. And let's see what will happen. And this was clear that Amr radiallahu anhu outsmarted and he overpowered he defeated Artabun in his strategy and his plan. In one narration it is mentioned that during the negotiations, Artabun wrote to Amr radiallahu anhu and he says to him that both of us hold the same position among our people. The position you hold among your people is the same position that I hold among my people. But I want to inform you that you are not going to conquer this land. You're not going to conquer this place. Jerusalem is not going to be conquered by you. So don't be deceived, because you will be defeated like previous people. You will be defeated in exactly the same manner. Amr radiallahu anhu wanted to ascertain that why is he speaking with so much of confidence that you are not going to be conquering Jerusalem. So he writes a reply to him and he chooses a messenger that could understand the Roman language. So he doesn't require a translator, he will understand directly the conversation that they are having. And then he replies to Artabun and he says to Artabun that you are fully aware that I am going to conquer this place. You are fully aware that I am going to conquer this place. And I have a request that you should read this reply of mine in front of your advisors. Read it publicly or read it in front of your advisors. And he instructed this messenger that after you deliver the letter, then you should not leave immediately. Rather, you should hang around for a little while and listen to what happens, listen to the conversation that follows this letter. So the advisor goes, the messenger goes and he does as instructed. Artabun reads this letter to his advisors. So the advisors ask him that how are you saying with so much of certainty that this man is not going to conquer this land? Now, this is what Amr radiallahu anhu wanted to ascertain. That why is he speaking with so much of confidence? So Artabun says that the person who will conquer this land is a person who has three letters in his name. His name has three letters. So the messenger comes back with this message that this is the reply that he gave. Now Amr and Umar both outwardly have the same amount of letters. Ayn, Mim, Ra. However, in Arabic, to differentiate between Amr and Umar, because they wouldn't use harkats in the old days, they wouldn't use the harakat. So in order to differentiate between Amr and Umar, for Amr, an extra waw is added at the end, which is a silent waw. It's a silent waw added at the end. So when you write Amr, then it is four letters. Ayn, Mim, Ra, and a waw which is silent. But Umar is three letters. Ayn, Mim, Ra. So Amr radiallahu anhu understood from here that this is a prophecy that Umar radiallahu anhu will be the one who will be conquering this place. So he writes a letter to Umar radiallahu anhu and he says to him, Inni u'aliju harban ka'uda. He says that I am going through a very difficult struggle with this enemy that I am facing, and this land is waiting for you. This land is going to be conquered by you. So you can decide what you want to do in this matter. Another narration explains the series of events slightly different. And this narration explains that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu came over, as we explained from Hims, he came over to the area of Palestine to join Amr radiallahu anhu, and he was there part of the siege. And the Romans came out one day, and there was a small encounter that had taken place. The Muslims attacked them, the Muslims defeated them, and they ran back into their forts. After some time, the Romans, when they realized that they are not going to be able to continue for too long, so they sent a message to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an, that we are prepared to enter into a peace treaty with you. However, we insist that your Khalifa must come from Medina Munawwara, and he will be the one who will sign the agreement, and he will give us amnesty, and he will give us protection. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an would always consult Muaz radiallahu an, as Abu Bakr radiallahu an advised him when he was leaving, and the army already departed. Abu Bakr radiallahu an sent a horseman very quickly, perhaps it was Abu Qatada radiallahu an, that go and tell Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an that he should consult Muaz radiallahu an because of his seniority, because of his experience and his knowledge. So on this occasion now, again Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an consults with Muaz radiallahu an that this is the demand that they are making. Muaz radiallahu an says to him that if you call Amirul Mu'mineen all the way from Madinah Munawwara here, and these people go against their word, then obviously it will not be good that we put Amirul Mu'mineen through the taklif, to the difficulty of coming all the way, and then these people go against their word. So you must ensure that they give you very strong oaths, and they confirm that when Amirul Mu'mineen comes, they will agree to hand over the city. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu explains to them, and they give their oaths, very strong oaths. Emphatically they say that we will definitely accept the sulah and the peace treaty of Amirul Mu'mineen when he comes. So now Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu sends a letter to Madinah Munawwara, and he explains the situation to Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu, explaining to him that he took further oaths from them as well. And then he says, فَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ تَقْدَمَ عَلَيْنَا فَفْعَلْ O Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you feel it appropriate to come, then please come. فَإِنَّ فِي مَسِيرِكَ أَجْرًا وَصَلَاحًا وَعَافِيَةً لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ Because your traveling to this area will be a means of great reward for you. And it will be a means of goodness and a means of ease for the Muslims. أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ رُشْدَكْ وَيَسَّرَ أَمْرَكْ May Allah guide you and may Allah make your affairs easy for you. When Umar radiallahu anhu receives this letter, he calls the senior Sahaba who he would make mashura with, who he would consult with, and he explained to them the situation, he explains to them the contents of the letter, and now he asked them for suggestions that what do you all feel? Should I travel? Should I go to that area? Uthman radiallahu anhu says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, Allah has disgraced the enemy already. Allah has disgraced the enemy. Their leaders have been killed. Multitudes of theirs have been killed and slain. So, there's no need for us to fulfill their demand. There's no need for us to give in to their demand. لِيَكُونَ أَحْقَرَ لَهُمْ وَأَرْغَمَ لِأُنُوفِهِمْ We should disgrace them even further. And we should show them that they have no significance whatsoever. We don't give in to their demands. It's just a matter of time until they will be forced to surrender. So there is no need for you to go. Umar radiallahu anhu asked, is there any other suggestion? Any other right? So Ali radiallahu anhu says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, I have a different opinion. My opinion is that the fact that they are asking for a peace treaty is already enough disgrace for them. There's no need to disgrace them even further. This is enough disgrace for them that they have to ask for a peace treaty. If we have to contextualize this, then the fact that the enemy today in Gaza is asking for a negotiation, the fact that they're sitting on a negotiating table, the fact that they were forced to accept a negotiation, all of this is already a defeat for them. All of this is already a disgrace for them. If they were so powerful, if they could get back their prisoners through military pressure, then why they couldn't get them back in the first 15 months of the war, why they couldn't get back a single prisoner through military pressure? The fact that they accepted the negotiation, and also the terms and conditions that were placed by the resistance, which were all against them, that in itself shows that they were defeated and they could not achieve their goals. Now the fact that they have come back, it's a lot of it is just to try and save their face. Try to save their respect and to try and appease certain factions and certain right wings, etc. among them. But inshallah, this also will fail. And they will finally have to, again, accept the negotiations and accept the terms and conditions of the resistance, inshallah. So, Ali radiallahu anhu says that the fact that they're asking for a peace treaty, this in itself is a great disgrace for them. So there's no need to disgrace them even further. And this is a great victory for the believers. So, when this is the case, then by you traveling to this land, you will be rewarded firstly for all the great difficulty that you undergo traveling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a lengthy journey, all the difficulty that you go through, Allah will reward you immensely for this. And by you going there, then it will make it easy. It will make it easy for the Muslims because they won't have to prolong the siege of theirs. Currently they are laying siege to the city. If you refuse to go, they will have to prolong the siege. But if you go immediately, then the siege will not be prolonged. And very quickly this agreement will be signed and it will make it easy for the Muslims. If you do not go, the siege can prolong. There's a possibility of them receiving some reinforcements and the Muslims will go through much more difficulty. It's possible that they may come close to the walls of the city. The enemy may fire arrows at them. The enemy may throw stones at them. And it's possible that a Muslim will lose his life also in this. And if you have to hear that one Muslim lost his life because you did not travel there, then you will regret that decision. So I feel you should go. Umar radiallahu anh comments and he decides. He makes the decision. He says, قَدْ أَحْسَنَ عُثْمَانُ فِي مَكِيدَةِ الْعَدُوْ وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ عَلِيٌّ النَّظْرَ لِأَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. That both of them have given good suggestions. Uthman radiallahu anhu, his suggestion is good in terms of strategizing against the enemy. But Ali radiallahu anhu's suggestion is good in terms of feeling sorry and showing kindness to the Muslims and making it easier for them. Fasiru ala smillah. So travel, let us get ready. In the name of Allah, we will leave. Umar radiallahu anhu left Medina Munawwara with some of the nobles of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, some of the prominent Muhajirin and Ansar. In front of his group, in the front part of the group, was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Abbas radiallahu anhu. He traveled from Medina Munawwara, understanding what a great journey this was, what a momentous occasion it was. He is going to the newly conquered land, the land that was previously ruled over by the so-called superpower. And his armies had defeated these people. Now he is going, the Amir al-Mu'mineen is going. What a grand reception and welcome he will receive in this land. Despite all of that, Umar radiallahu anhu travels with utmost simplicity. He travels on a normal conveyance. He did not even have a nice saddle. He was traveling hundreds of kilometers. He didn't even have a proper saddle. It was just a blanket that he would place on the conveyance when he was riding. It would become his saddle or his saddle blanket when he was riding. And when he would dismount his conveyance and it was time to rest, then that same blanket will be laid down on the ground and he will sleep on that. Behind him as a backrest, he had a bag which was filled with fibers of date palm. And this would be his backrest when he was riding. And when it was time for him to rest, then this would become his pillow on the ground. And with this kind of simplicity, he didn't even have stirrups. Stirrups is the place where a rider places his feet. It makes it easier for him. He didn't even have these stirrups. Rather, his legs were dangling. They were hanging at the bottom. And in this simplicity, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu traveled from Medina Munawwara all the way to Sham. Whilst he was going on this journey, every morning after Fajr Salah, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu would face his companions. And he would mention standard words every morning. Every morning after Fajr, he would mention these words, Alhamdulillahi alladhi a'azzana bil Islam wal Iman. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has honored us with Islam and Iman. Understanding where they were pre-Islam, and now Allah blessed them with the great bounty of Islam and Iman. Wa akramana bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah had honored us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us from misguidance. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered us and united us after we were disunited. And وَنَصَرَنَا بِهِ عَلَى الْأَعْدَاءِ. Through the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has given us victory over the enemy. وَمَكَّنَ لَنَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Allah has given us control and Allah has given us authority and rule in the land. وَجَعَلَنَا بِهِ إِخْوَانًا مُتَحَابِّينَ. And Allah has made us, through the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has made us brothers who love each other. فَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى هَذِهِ النِّعَمِ. So praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these favors. Again, no pride came into his heart that how powerful I am, I have defeated the superpower of the time. No, his nazar and his complete focus was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever was achieved is only from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot be proud. Therefore he was reminding his people daily after Fajr that we need to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these favors. وَسَلُوهُ الْمَزِيدَ فِيهَا. And ask Allah and beg Allah for increase in these favors. وَالشُّكْرَ عَلِيهَا. And ask Allah to give us with the, to bless us with the tawfiq of making shukr for these favors. وَتَمَامَ مَا أَصْبَحْتُمْ تَتَقَلَّبُونَ فِيهِ مِنْهَا. And beg Allah to complete these favors that we are enjoying. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُرِيدُ الرَّغْبَةَ إِلَيْهِ وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَى الشَّاكِرِينَ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants his servants to turn to him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completes the favor of those who make shukr. When a person makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he is grateful for the favors of Allah, then Allah completes these favors upon him. So by us making shukr, Allah will complete his favor upon us. So these were the words of nasiha that Umar radiallahu anhu would remind his people daily after Fajr Salah. Going to Sham and on the return journey as well, Umar radiallahu anhu would remind them the same words, impressing upon us the importance of making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the favors that we are enjoying. Inshallah we will continue. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.